Morning, everybody. Tell you, when my mom asked me to do this, I told her no. Okay? Because I feel this is something that's, you know, it's a lot to carry. You know, this is something that within God, this is something that you're going to be judged for in the end. And it's something to get deep in your mind to say, this is, I'm going to speak God's word. Am I really worthy of speaking this, you know? But then, you know, the more you pray, the more you get up there, you're like, if you're really the one preaching, then you shouldn't be up here. So God should be leading the entire way, every part of it. So that's what gives me the courage to stand up here and say. But within the prayer of what, you know, when I was asked to do this, of what was going to be preached, I just prayed a lot. And the more I started to pray, the things started to come to me about the problems within today and the problems we have in this world. And the message that God gave me today, I'll say in here in a minute, but I want to open up to John chapter 1. We're going to read 12 through 14. And then 16 through 17, in order to kind of get what God wants to talk about today. So I'll go ahead and read it. You can read along when you get there. But this sermon might take a roller coaster ride of top thrill dragster about 8 seconds, or it will take as long as mom does. So, but it says this in 1 John. John chapter 1, verse 12 through 14, it says, "But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of truth and grace." And then skip over to chapter 6, verse 16 and 17. "And his fullness we have all received, and grace for grace. For the law is given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ." I want to focus on those two words at the end of verse 14. Three words, grace and truth. That's what I want to talk about today, because I feel like that's something within today people need. People need this side, the both sides of grace and truth and grace. Whenever I listen to a lot of sermons when I'm riding around in my car, much like what my mother does. So I listened to Billy Graham. He spoke in Chicago in 1971, and he asked this question: who is Jesus? Why is he so important? You know, people, whenever we hear Jesus, they say many things. He's a savior. He's a healer. He's the son of God. And is he all those things? Absolutely. He is everything we ever need. But the things that stood me to most is grace and truth. We're going to go over to John chapter 14, verse 6. I'm reading out my phone today, so I might be a little slow, because I like the New King James Version rather than my New Living Translation, because sometimes it does it better. Okay. Jesus said in verse six, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but through me." Jesus says, "I am truth, I'm the life. You got to get through me in order to get to where my Father is." You know? And without this, you know, without Jesus, where would we be today? In this saying, we say, without truth, we would be lost. Without grace, we would be dead. But you see, Jesus has this perfect balance of both. Of both this truth and grace. You're going to hear me say those two words a lot today. because I believe that's what Jesus is. He is both a Savior, he's everything, but he's within truth and grace to become our Savior. So we see Jesus as this perfect example of balance of both sides of this. But if we're to become like Jesus, don't we need both? Sometimes as Christians and as even non-believers, we tend to look at only one side. We just see to see that God gives so much grace that we look at what is truth, we throw away his truth. And the fact is that we read the Bible through a straw. And what I mean by that is we only see what we want to see instead of seeing what God wants us to see, which is the whole picture. But in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, coming from the Passion Bible version, it says this: be well balanced, for your devil, the adversary, is like a roaring lion seeking who he may devour. If you're not balanced in either one of these with God, then you're easy prey. Your devil's going to get swept up. He's going to sweep you up so easy, it's not even funny. But before I go in, I want to look at both sides of this. I want to pick it apart from one part of Jesus and then the other and then bring it all together. Because when it brings it all together, that is where you see Christ come to be. So I actually want to read you a scene from Passion of the Christ. Has anybody not seen it? I would advise you go see it. It will give you a whole perspective of God's love and Jesus that came down. So in this scene, we have Pontius Pilate in his chambers with his wife, Claudia. And Pontius is grieving, and he's not grieving. He's just concerned about the situation he's in. And Claudia is there to comfort him. And Pontius Pilate asks an interesting question. He asks, "What is truth, Claudia? Do you hear it? Recognize it when it is spoken?" Claudia answers, "Yes, I do. Don't you?" Pilate asks, "How? Can you tell me?" And Claudia answers this: "If you will not hear the truth, then no one can ever tell you." If you're not willing to hear it, then how can anybody ever tell you? Within the college, I see a lot of people and, you know, I think about them all the time. Where are they at with God? And then I look at myself, where am I at with God? And am I seeking the full truth of who Christ is, what God is, all this stuff? Am I really reading this truth, God's word? And do I really want it that bad? See, people, whenever you ask them if they, some people that are atheists, non-Christians, you wonder, why do they not believe in God? Well, most of them were once Christians. They just don't want to believe what God has to say because it doesn't fit their lifestyle. It doesn't fit to who they want to be within Christ. And then you're like, but then you see the whole side of grace, which we'll get to later. But there's an old saying, isn't it? Truth hurts, doesn't it? Indeed it does. It does hurt. The truth hurts and we tend to turn away from it because it's too painful to bear. But there are many things within the New Testament that Jesus says that are painful to hear. They're so painful that we're just sitting there and we're like, dang, man, I don't want to do this. Why would I want to do this? I can do that. So much easier, you know? But such a painful thing to hear, and I'll give you an example. It's in Matthew. Okay. And it's on the subject of divorce. And I chose this one because I thought it was interesting to hear, and not a lot of people here talk about it that I know of. And we're going to look at Matthew 19, verse 8 through 11. And it's talking about when the Pharisees tried to trap Jesus into using something against him, and they did this a lot. They did this almost all the time to Jesus when he entered Jerusalem. But he said, but in verse 7 it says, then why did Moses say in the law that a man could give his wife a written notice of divorce and send her away, they asked as the Pharisees. Then Jesus replied in verse 8, Moses permitted divorce only as a concussion to your hard hearts, but is not what God originally intended. And I tell you this, whoever divorces his wife and marries someone else commits adultery unless his wife has been unfaithful. And then verse 10, he says, Jesus' disciples then said, if this is the case, it's better not to marry. And then Jesus replied in verse 11, not everyone can accept this. Woo! You didn't divorce, you commit adultery unless your wife's been unfaithful? I mean, within the U.S. today, within 2020 stats, 39% of marriages throughout 2020 end in divorce. With a population of 328 million people, 39% end in divorce. That's hard to swallow. Imagine how many people could say that my wife was unfaithful, but most of them say they just didn't feel the love anymore, or the fact that they just grew apart because of financial issues or different circumstances. The truth is that this word will bring you closer to God, and the closer you are to God, the closer you are to bringing the full truth within every part of your life, whether it's marriage, schooling, finances. So all bring it together. It's kind of funny. I had a story that kind of goes back to my sophomore year in college, just when probably my closest moment when I got to God. I was at a track meet, an indoor track meet, at VMI, Virginia Military Institute, okay? And I remember sitting in above the track where you could warm up, and I just remember talking to my mom. And I got on the subject of something I read that week, and it was, about Jesus and how he was called the Prince of Demons. Because where Jesus in Matthew, he said that no wonder he cast out demons, he has the power of demons. But then Jesus said, if I'm casting out Satan, then Satan is against himself. How can you cast out yourself? You are a civil war with yourself, right? And then what talk about is exorcists, and he says, if his exorcists are casting out demons, then they are the work of the devil, right? And then you look at it, and you're like, man, that guy got roasted. He got burnt so bad. He might as well go home, rethink his life, and try to figure out something else. But you know, when he probably felt that. He felt, dang, man. But let me tell you, if it wasn't the truth, it wouldn't hurt. But whenever you feel that hurt within your truth, when truth comes at you, you feel that pain. But let me tell you, the pain is not punishment, it is direction. The truth will set you in a whole new way of life, whole new path, the way you need to go. It's something you need in life, something that God puts, something that Jesus tells you within this book, within the Holy Spirit, where he just brings it to you, and you just go with it, because that's what you need. God knows what you need. You see, in Matthew chapter 23, verse 9 and 10, he says, now go into, wrong ones. And don't address anyone here as your father, for only God in heaven is your father. And don't let anyone call you teacher, for you only have one teacher, and he is the Messiah. The world is a good teacher at what you want, but Jesus is a good teacher of what you need. Things get put in your life and they're really hard, but it's something that you need, for nothing happens without a reason. So we're going to go over to back to John 14. Again, I'm all over the place, but I just want to implement that My mom told me whenever she asked me to do this, I was like, what am I going to teach people? She said, this word. This word has everything you need. And I went with it. I was like, yeah, that sounds good. So in John chapter 14, 15, and 17, Jesus promises the Holy Spirit. He said in 15, it says, if you love me, obey my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit who leads into all truth. The world cannot receive him because it isn't looking for him and doesn't recognize him. But you know him because he lives with you now and later will be in you. The Holy Spirit guides you through everything. You need the Holy Spirit to have this truth within. The Holy Spirit works within your conscience, and then your conscience tells you, wow, this is something I did wrong. This is something that I should repent for. This is something that I should feel bad about. And then we'll get into the grace of it later once you feel that. But we'll focus on this. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit who leads you into all truth. All of it. Every part of your life, again. He will lead you into all of it. There's so many, within this world today, there's so many lies. There's so many deceit. There's so many things that you wonder if it's ever true or not. And you're just wondering, man, could I believe anything people have to say? The Holy Spirit, that is who leads you. And that Jesus Christ, and it's all just one big circle. The Spirit of God, Jesus, Holy Christ, it's all. It's this one big thing that puts you on the right path. Whenever I was praying, I was hoping to give an example, and something came to me. God gave to me with this. He says, you've heard the saying, there's hills and valleys, but, you know, hills are a little too small for me, so I like to say mountains. There's mountains and valleys, okay? And then within a valley, there's two big rows of mountains alongside it to create the slope at the very bottom, right? Sometimes God puts you off the mountain into the valley because that's what you need. You try to climb back up the same mountain, doesn't work like that again. But what you don't see is that within the valley, there's this long path that you could just follow. You eventually walk up it, try to walk around, then eventually you look left and right and you see a way back up the mountain. See, that path is God's truth, but let me tell you that the grace of God will pull you back up that mountain. For without it, you'd be dead. Okay. And then here we go into grace. As John Hagee said, grace is like an ocean without a shoreline. It cannot be bought. It cannot be earned. You can't trade in your best truck in for it. It's only given as a gift. Something that is given to you with love. That only God can provide. In Ephesians 2:8, it says this: God saved you by grace, and when you believed. And you can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done, so none of us can boast about it. It's a gift from God, not of works. Lest any man should boast. You can't work your way to heaven. You can't buy your way to heaven. You can't trade it in. You cannot bargain. It can only be given by God. We are never perfect. Sometimes we look at ourselves and, you know, we try to boast about all the good things we did. Man, I just gave that homeless dog a new home. Look at me. Look what I did. I'm such a kid person. I do that all the time. Right? But the truth is that when the truth comes at you and says, but look at what you did yesterday. Didn't you just lie yesterday? Didn't you just steal yesterday? It's examined of yourself to say, wow, am I really that much of a sinner? But that is the grace of God, the grace and mercy of God. But Christ died so we could live. And we need the grace and mercy of God. Whenever it comes to my end, when I stand before God, I don't want to ask for justice. I want to ask for mercy and grace. For I am not worthy of it, but yet I pray he gives it to me. I want to look at an example of this in John chapter 8. And it's kind of a lengthy one, so bear with me. We'll look at verse 1 through 11. Yes. Go ahead and read it. Jesus returned to Mount of Olives, but earlier the next morning he was back again at the temple. A crowd soon gathered, and he sat down and taught them. As he was speaking, the teachers of religious law and Pharisees brought a woman who had been caught in the act of adultery. They put her in front of the crowd. Teacher, they said to Jesus, this woman was caught in the act of adultery. The law of Moses says to stone her. What do you say? Again, this was a trap set so they can use whatever he says against him. But Jesus stooped down, wrote in the dust with his finger. They kept demanding an answer, so he stooped up again and said, all right, but let the one who has never sinned throw the first stone. Then he stooped down again and wrote in the dust. When the accusers heard this, they slipped away one by one, beginning with the oldest, until only Jesus was left in the middle of the crowd with the woman. Then Jesus stood up again and said to the woman, where are your accusers? Didn't even one of them condemn you? No, Lord, she said. And Jesus said, neither do I. Go and sin no more. Wow. Just a crowd full of accusers to condemn this woman. But yet the only person who can condemn her said, neither do I condemn you, and put down his stone. Isn't that incredible? That's crazy. Yeah, God, we were worthy of all the punishment we have, all the punishment that we deserve. And yet God says, I do not condemn you. Only the grace of God. Only the grace of God. But then if you look at the last thing he says, go and sin no more. I read that and go, man, it's a question of what? Why would he ask something that would seem impossible? To go and sin no more. Shoot, I sin every day. I ask for God's grace. I ask for God's mercy every day. I'm like, did I sin today? Shoot, I can't remember. But more than likely, I did. Because all my thoughts, all my actions, all my words, they can lead into some bad places. And God sees every bit of it. Every bit of it. The moment that you think you're hiding from God is the moment that you've only fooled yourself. But, and the answer to this is that we've been called to be Christ-like. We've called to be Christ. Another impossible task. But when we get close to this, to God, in this word that we read, and what we pray and what we worship, the more we get into it, we get closer to being Christ-like. To see how God is and how we should be. instead of what the world's trying to tell us to be. Now, there is a warning to this. You're going to be like, what the heck? There's a warning to grace? I mean, I'm saved by everything. Right? All but one, it says the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven, says Jesus himself. That is the truth of God. You cannot deny it. Did you know that God can't do everything? You're going to look at me and be like, what the flip? That's not true. God can do everything. Are you serious? And I'm going to look at you and be like, well, can God lie? Can God steal? Can God murder? No, he can't. Because he's God. And everything he is his truth. And he never goes back on his truth. For that's what it is. But the grace of God can be abused, to say. To say I can go back and be like, dang, I can do whatever I want. I can go out and just, you know, I can go out and party. I can do all these things. But that's not what it says here in this word. If you want to turn to Romans, if I can find it. Shoot. Give me a minute. Lost my sticky note that I had. I know. I just got to find out the exact page where I'll get lost. Thank you, though. Romans, chapter 6, verse 1 through 4. It says, well then, should we keep on sinning so that God can show us more of his wondrous grace? Of course not. Since we have died to sin, how can we continue to live in it? Or have you forgotten that when we were joined with Christ Jesus in baptism, we were joined him in his death? For we died and we were buried with Christ by baptism. And just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, now we also may live new lives. Like Tammy preached in about a couple weeks ago about repentance. You know, when you go to repent for God, to have God show you his grace, it was to say that, you know, I can do this over and over again. But no, you're called to be transformed. That's what repentance means. To be transformed within God's truth and his grace, to be a follower of Christ, not to just be able to do whatever you want. And then when I'll skip over to verse 23, and it says this, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. For the wages of sin is death. Isn't that crazy? But the free gift of God is eternal life. The free gift, the grace of God. That's the free gift we have. For our Lord Jesus gave it to us. Not because we earned it, we definitely didn't. Because he loved us enough to give it to us. But isn't it come around full circle? If you go back to John 14, verse 6 says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Eternal life, the gift that God gave us. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am truth and grace. Only I can give it. Perfect example. This balance of having both someone to save us by both giving us what we need in both ways of truth and grace. It's like water. Drink too much of it and you'll drown. Too little of it and you'll die of thirst. You need the perfect balance in order to live. With God and with all Jesus Christ, the Trinity, all the Holy Spirit to bring us all together of this wonderful example of truth and grace. Do we truly live by it every day? Do we see it in our actions every day? Do we say His word? Do we read His word? Do we live by it? Do we show other people the amount of grace and forgiveness as God showed us? That is what I believe God has put me up today to say. And with this, I close just to ask in a question of who is Jesus? And both He is our Savior in the way of showing us the truth, the way of salvation, because that's what this book is. People be like asking so many questions about this book and say, what is it? Where's the rest of the stuff that goes along with like some of the science that goes with it? But this book is truth. It's a way of salvation. It's God's love affair with us to show us this is how we should live. This book is our way of living. The God show us He sent His Son to die for us. And both showing even the hardest things are what we need. But the hardest things God gives and the softest things He gives with His grace. So that is it for me today. If you all want to stand, I'll pray. We'll close out. Congratulations, you get out early today. But Father, I thank You for this word You've presented today. I know it was as You that put out this word, because if I put out this word, it would be a disaster. But I thank You for what You've shown us today, and not just the people within this building that is Your house, but of also the people of this world. If anybody wants to listen and hear the truth, they can hear it. They get it from You, from this word, from Your Holy Spirit. And only You can provide everything that we need. We are in a living world of chaos, Father, but only You can provide a way out. If we give into the world, then we have lost. But only You can bring us out. For today, we not listen to anything else people have to say, but we listen to what You have to say. For only Your word matters and is the way, the truth, and the life. I pray, Father, that You would just bless everyone here and bless this country and the world, that You would just bring it together in a way to show that this is what it needs to be, and this is what needs to happen within Your word. I thank You and will always praise You. I love You, Father, and everyone here does. Thank You, and we love You. In Jesus' name, amen.